Hebrews 5. I'm going to read from verse 12 through to verse 14 in Hebrews 5. Somebody, can somebody read that? Hebrews 5, 12 through 14.
For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And ye are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the utterance of God. And Lord, we pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, it would help us to be the people that you want us to be. Amen. So the Lord seemed to lead me to this passage here. Not all sure what all to say about it, but I'll try my best to talk about it and to expound some application of it. But he says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. So this letter is addressed to Jewish believers. And in Hebrews, he's going through the superiority of Jesus Christ and the things of Christ over the ceremonial law. And he talks about how Jesus is superior to angels, how he is a much greater high priest, how he's offered a better sacrifice once and for all than it was ever offered, and on and on and on. Now, this Jesus is better than every aspect of the ceremonial law, not least of all the fact that that was only ever a foreshadowing anyway. You wondered to yourself, why did he have to go back, whether it was Paul, as is, I believe, what all the earlier commentators never questioned it was Paul, but lately people have suggested maybe it wasn't Paul, whatever, we know it was God. Why did the author of this epistle have to go back and convince the Hebrew believers that Jesus was superior to all these things and the fulfillment of all these things? It seems to me like the devil's plan B, if he can't stop you getting into what God wants you into, then as soon as he knows he's failed in that respect, he's going to move on to plan B, which is going to be to get you back to what you're into. In this case, they were into religion. That's what the Jews were all about, religion. Oh, well, I couldn't stop them from relying upon their religious shadows and types and precursors. Now they've found Jesus. Now we're going to move to plan B. Let's get them back to that stuff. And of course, the devil then goes to plan C, plan D, plan E, F, and G, and all this stuff. But that's what they were into. That's what he clawed them, tried to claw. Some of us, we weren't into religion before we met Jesus. We were into hedonism. That's a fancy word for partying, okay? We were into the world before we met Jesus. So the devil's plan B, he couldn't stop us from getting out of the world and out of hedonism. Let's see if we can't get him back again into that. In this case, the Jews, they mixed. They started mixing, we discussed this before in the book of Acts, they started mixing the simple gospel their faith in Jesus, their repentance, they received the Holy Spirit, they had everything they needed. So the devil tried to claw them back and get them to mix their following Jesus in all simplicity, mix it with the ceremonial law. Just sprinkle in a little bit of circumcision over here, will you? Just insist on that. You want to take the power out of it. Somewhere else it says, if you go back to that, then Christ is of no avail to you. So with the church today, why don't I just get you to try and mix your Christianity with a little bit of hedonism? Let's try and claw you back. Let's try and mix in a little bit of worldliness, a little bit of sensuality, some flashing lights, and some cool stuff. And if I can't get you to mix it with a little bit of that, if I can't claw you back to hedonism, how about humanism? Why don't we mix your Christianity with some 10-step process? You know, here's your 10-step psychological process to fix all your problems, fresh off of the latest research that they've come up with, all based on man, you know? So, I mean, is the devil really up to anything new? No. For the Hebrews, it was religion. For us, maybe it's hedonism, maybe it's worldliness, maybe it's humanism. Always trying to claw back. So the writer to the Hebrews had to convince them that Jesus was it. He was superior to all of that. Superior. Now, what's the opposite of superior? Inferior. Inferior. So the lie of the devil is that following Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost is somehow inferior to, that's why they're being tempted to mix it, inferior to humanism. You don't have this. There's nothing in this from the Bible, but I'll give you a little secret. This step, that step, and you'll be onto a good thing. See, add a little bit of humanism. Because after all, that's not as advanced as this over here. So anyway, and then he says to them, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God. So in other words, by this time, you guys ought to be teaching other people about this. But because you've let go of the basics, you're not able to teach anyone else. You need to be taught again what the basics are. So that implies to me that to mix the simplicity of the gospel and the work of Jesus Christ and what he's given us in himself and the work of the cross and the Holy Spirit given to us, to mix that, in this case with religion or whatever you want to mix it with, hedonism, worldliness, humanism, it seems like when we start mixing it, we don't get it. We don't get it in all its simplicity. We seem to overlook something when we start mixing it. Because look at the verse before that, verse 11. It says, okay, verse 10 then. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus Christ, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So it's hard, he said, for me to tell you the work of the cross, the work of Jesus, what Jesus has done, how he wants to help you. It's hard for me to tell you. You're dull of hearing because you got some new advanced version of this Christianity that you had to update a little bit with some of you Jews, your religion, or fill in the blank, whatever it was. So there seemed to be some kind of when we have to mix something else in with the cross and just follow in Jesus, it seems to, instead of advance us, it seems to retard us. Does that sound fair enough? From what it says, for when the time you ought to be teachers. By this time you ought to be teachers. Now that's a statement right there, isn't it? Jesus said, it's enough for the disciple to be like his master. Now go. Go on. Make disciples. It's enough. How long do you want to stay in college for? You know, maybe some of our children have, you know, they've got their education and you're real proud of them. And then they're like, well, I need to do a master's. I'm like, well, that's fair enough. That's the way things are going these days. It's cool. And then, oh, got to get my doctorate. I'm like, oh, okay, you're not ready for the workplace yet. Okay, go get your doctorate. I know, fair enough. There's a place for advanced training. Oh, well, I'm just not quite ready. I got to do some research. And then you get these people who are like eternal students. Do you know what I'm saying? And you're like, oh, that's just not making sense. I mean, you went there to learn for a reason, but now you just make this perpetuation of just learning. Is that what the church is like today? He says, for when by now you ought to be teachers. Jesus says, it's enough to be like me. Hey, the disciples, they only got 3 years. Whoa, 3 years. Go. I think we all ought to be teachers. I mean, fair enough. There may be some that are just new in the faith, but there's not too much of that around here. Most of us have been under this for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. You have what it takes to teach other people. You know, we're in a society today where to teach someone else, you've got to be like highly qualified. Now, I was thinking about one day, I was sitting by the side of the pool down at Y, enrolled my boys in swim class. And I was sure thankful for these young ladies that were doing the swim lesson and stuff, because it was kind of like a no-brainer for me. I could just sit there and zone out, you know. But I thought to myself, what's this mentality that we have in society today that in order to teach our children anything, we have to outsource it to someone else? Whatever you know, you can teach someone else. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, hey, if I know how to change a tire in a car and I get some 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old, 15-year-old boy come along, it's like, hey, I teach you how to change a tire on a car. Just give me 5 minutes. It's real simple. I'll show you what to do. Anything you know, you can teach someone else. Can you teach someone else how to read the Bible every day? Yes, you can. You're fully qualified because you do it yourself. You can teach other people how to understand the Bible. You can teach other people how to deny themselves, because you're doing it already. You can teach other people how to walk with God. The question is, who are you teaching these things to? That challenges me. I don't know if it challenges you, but it says right here, for by now you ought to be teachers. And that's what Jesus says. He says, all authority is given unto me. Go. And what? Teach. Make disciples is another translation there. King James says teach. But it is. It's the same thing. It's the word. It's the sense of teach, which means to, you know, repetitively instill it in someone, to make disciples, make apprentices. But that's it. Wow. It says, you have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as has need of milk and not of strong meat. I don't want to be dull of hearing about the things about Jesus. I want to receive them. I don't want to get to a place where I get polluted and slide back on the basics. You know, they said that, I don't know if it was one of those famous basketball players, Michael Jordan, whatever, or different ones of these successful sportsmen, they say you got to be a master of the basics. The top people are masters of the basics. You know? And I know someone who's learning violin and gets embarrassed to do little simple things. And I say to them, don't be. That's what the pros do. You got to work on those simple things. But this author to the Hebrews said, you guys have overlooked the basics and you need to relearn them. Says, for everyone that it says, you are become such as are, he says, I need to refeed you the simple stuff. I can't give you the strong meat. You Hebrews, with your polluted, you brought in your pollution and your want to go back to things and add it to your Christianity. For everyone that uses milk, if I have to feed you milk, you're unskillful in the message of right living. Says strong meat or strong teachings or teachings beyond the basics in the parallelism is for those who are perfect of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So they have applied their discernment to the Word of God, applied their discernment, sat and meditated and figured it out and discerned it and taken it apart and put it back together and applied that discernment to their study of the Word of God and to the situations in their own lives and discern both good and evil, degrees of good and evil. And then in chapter 6, verse 1, it goes on to tell you the first principles that he was talking about in verse 12. It says that the principles of the doctrine of Christ, which is the beginnings of Christ. He says, let's leave that stuff behind. But by the way, in case you've forgotten what they were, it says repentance from dead works. That's good, isn't it? Didn't say repentance from sin. Repentance from dead works. That means repentance not from what you've done wrong, but from what you think you did was good. That's kind of neat, isn't it? You need to repent of your good works. Repent of what you think you had done or what you think merited anything in the eyes of God. Of faith towards God, of the teaching of baptisms, baptism with water, John's baptism, baptism in the name of Jesus, baptism with the Holy Spirit, and in the laying of the hands, the resurrection of dead and eternal judgment, so on. So, I don't know what to say about this. This is what God led me to. I guess the message is just simply that. May God help us. God help me not to pollute the simplicity of the gospel with whatever we like to pollute it with, so that we'll be strong in the basics and so that we can be qualified to teach others and actually go and teach others. God, help us, we pray. We look to you, God. Help us to hold on and to grasp the basics in all simplicity without having to add something more sophisticated so that we don't have to be retaught it, but that we can teach it to others as you want us to, God. And I don't really know what else to say about it. So I just pray that you continue to speak to us about it by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.